You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle, and here is my spout.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Absolutely. You know what we gotta do? Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga!
Click! Click! Boom! I'm coming down on the stereo, ripping on the radio. Click! Click! Boom!
When want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
Strike three when the mute button freezes and you're live on the air. Welcome to the program, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Robinson and Horty Show. Dan is still considered essential, and no, you bastards in the chat, he's not my imaginary friend. He's not a voice in my head, and he's not one of my personalities. He is actually a person. Some of you know this because you used to listen to him every week, and you still pick on me because you're bastards. No, I'm just playing. All right, so anyway, hope everybody's having a great Wednesday night. This is Chat Lives Matter Day here on KLRN Radio, otherwise known as Weekly Team No Pants
Train
Night.
Wreck Radio.
Well, yeah, that's twice tonight. Like, G screwed up his intro, and I was making fun of him for screwing up his intro on the way back from the commercial, and then I screwed up the intro on the show. It's not my fault, man. The console wouldn't do what I told it to do. I blame the buttons. Anyway, so we're live, man. How you doing? I'm joined this evening, as I've been joined for pretty much every Wednesday for like the last year, by the one, the only, the opulent Amish guy, because, you know, Dan isn't here.
Dan's lives matter. I'm doing great. How you doing, Rick?
So I'm waiting for the next storyline to come out, because, you know, first it was, you know, Dan wasn't real, then Dan was my imaginary friend, Dan was a voice in my head, now Dan's one of my personalities. I'm waiting for the storyline of Rick actually killed Dan, and now is just using Ordy as a fill-in, hoping nobody ever finds the body. I'm sure that's probably going to be the next one.
You forgot that Dan is real, but you're just an AI bot.
This is true. I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't right. Anyway.
I'm a rooster illusion.
Oh, man. Oh, it's been an interesting night. I actually took over the producer chair for the FUBAR tonight and had Sam giving me a hard time the entire night. Because I misread something that you put in a private group the other day. So I'm like, hey, cool, we asked for this the other day, and I still have it, and I'm going to play it. Both of you were like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, I thought you wanted me to play that.
I was cool with it, but I knew Sam wouldn't be, because, you know, it's like, yeah, on the other shows, like when you and I work, you know, whether it's Jux or, you know, like Lou and I on Cyber Wars or whatever, it's a great middling because we're talking about kind of heavier stuff sometimes. Not often, but sometimes.
Sometimes.
So, you know, it's a great bumper. But during FUBAR, it just kind of, you know, because it's so light and airy and vapid.
Anyway.
That, you know. So Sal was like, what the fuck was that?
Anyway, I've now made it my life's mission to annoy her when I produce anyway, because I don't produce for you guys that
it's
much
It's been
anymore.
Your life's mission for 8 years.
Well, you know.
Been my life's mission for 5.
You weren't supposed to tell everybody that. That was a secret.
Yeah, it's good to have goals. I learned that in rehab.
Yeah, rehab's for quitters.
So what's going on? You doing okay? I heard your governor's got the COVID.
Yeah, my governor has the COVID. They had the second highest record day of new cases, but of course they're not subtracting the recoveries from the case numbers, so everybody still thinks
they never
like
do.
16,000 cases of COVID in Oklahoma, and we're all gonna die. When in reality, there's like 5,000 active cases, but you know, math is hard or something. And then the thing that I like the most, right, is when the press announcement got released that Governor Stitt has the COVID. All of a sudden, all these accounts I've never seen before started quote tweeting stuff from like right before the lockdown about how he was, you know, one was like, oh, look, we're out and we're supporting local and I'm meeting with my family and blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, and showing that, and then they link to the thing where he's got COVID. Like, you realize that was like 2 or 3 days before everybody went into lockdown mode, right?
That was 4 months ago. Yeah, a lot of the tweets I saw on that today, a lot of the threads, two of the theme. I used pretty much one reply for both themes. The first one was, yeah, him going out to lunch with his family or dinner with his family. And I'm like, I don't have the crayons or the sock puppets to explain to you how calendars work, but that was 4 months ago. The other one being the Trump rally y'all had out there 18 days ago. And that is really one vindictive virus that has a maximum incubation time of 14 days to hit him 18 days later. That's just spite. That's a spiteful virus.
Yeah, well, everybody knows that Corona's evil.
Hey, I mean, it can distinguish between Trump rallies and BLM protests. So it's a smart virus as well as a vengeful one.
Uh-oh. I just saw this come across my news feed. Trump
replaced... Brad Parscale?
Yep. That's probably not a good sign.
I'm seeing this in a DM, and I haven't had a chance to read much on it, because this just came across, 10 minutes ago in my in one of my DMs, that the thing is CNN's making it seem like he got fired, but other media outlets are reporting it as a lateral move. It's not really a demotion. It's a strategic move to move him to a different part of, not part of the campaign.
Let's see. This is actually from Fox News. It says President Trump is replacing campaign manager Brad Parscale with veteran GOP operative Bill Stepien, as more and more polls show rival Joe Biden opening up a significant early lead in the race for the White House. The move announced Wednesday night came days after an article in the Washington Post portrayed Parscale as self-promoting and aloof, noting that he featured... Oh, God damn it. Hang on.
Oh, yeah.
Look, if you run a website, I don't mind you having ads on there, but how about not audio-video ads for people that are trying to do other things?
God. I thought we were going Barry White for a minute. I was like, oh, yeah.
Well,
you're with Venus Flytrap overnight.
Nice. Actually, at least according to this article, they're not really framing it in a positive. Talking about dude usually being off by himself, doing most of his work poolside at his house. So, yeah, this isn't exactly being framed as a positive move, according to Fox News, but who knows.
All right. Well, you know, either way, he was Trump War Room, right?
Yeah.
If they keep him on with that because Trump War Room's social media game is strong, that's okay. But if he gets all angsty and goes, dude from Ren and Stimpy and rage quits, then, hopefully they get Orrin Hatch's social media team.
So, my thing with it is this is just from purely, optics perspective. Donald Trump has spent the last 3 weeks telling everybody these polls don't matter. These polls don't matter. We have internal polling that's showing things differently. And then, right about the time that he's just made that statement, all of a sudden all the news stories come out that they're getting rid of Parscale because they don't like the fact that the polls are showing Biden is ahead. The Trump really needs to get away from the mixed messaging. It's just bad.
Corda Rose just made a good point in the chat, is that Parscale has always been kind of a digital campaign guy, and the new guy will be the overall manager. So now that we're getting, if you look at it like that, that makes sense, because if Trump's going to start doing rallies again, and we're going to start to pretend that this is a normal election with campaigning, then you do need to have somebody who's more familiar with, Trump's already got the ground game in place, but you got to have somebody who's able to run it effectively, and a digital campaign manager really can't do that. The digital is still going to be strong. It has to be strong, because most people are still stuck at home, like in California, but you still need to run this like it's a normal election, too.
I'm not necessarily saying that I disagree with the move. I just think the timing of it is terrible, because the president's just spent the last month trying to convince everybody that the polls are fake. And then now the headlines are leading even on Fox News. As Joe Biden increases his lead, according to polls, Parscale out. I'm just saying, and this is one of the things we talk about all the time. It's really difficult for presidents or potential presidents who were campaigning to transition from a campaigning president to a sitting president who is actually trying to also win re-election. Donald Trump has not made that transition very well. That's one of the only things that people brought up about the Rose Garden speech the other day, is it seemed more like a campaign stop than him actually giving a campaign speech than a thing where he could have, because he... the Rose Garden is not really somewhere where you want to beat the shit out of your opponent. No matter who else says that, or whoever else says it, that I made disagree with on so many other things. There were so many other ways that Donald Trump could have used that moment to, you know, point out the fact that, you know, Joe Biden's a lying douchebag without actually saying Joe Biden's a lying douchebag, and pointed to all the things that he has been trying to do to make things better, that the virus slowed down, and that, you know, once we get past that, these are the things we're going to do next. And then went later, like he did earlier today, to a campaign spot, and then trashed Joe Biden in front of the people that would have made it up. Because that...
you don't like me doing it in the Rose Garden? Here, let me just walk out onto the street and do it in front of the White House.
But yeah, I mean, so... But that's the thing, you know. It's just one of those things, and I get it. He's inexperienced as far as being a politician. And, you know, I'm sorry, when you're learning on the job 3 years to do this kind of thing really isn't that much time. That's one of the reasons why I've always kind of been iffy about throwing somebody into the White House that has no clue what they're doing. Up until now, he's done a fairly good job. I mean, he's done lots of cringeworthy things and lots of things where I'm like, man, I really wish somebody would take his Twitter away. But at the end of the day, his policies have been working. But the problem is right now, he's still basically punching everybody in the face instead of trying to point out what they're doing to try to make all of the bad situations that we have going on right now better. And I think he would be able to reassure the American people so much better if he would just stop saying, you know, Joe Biden is a crazy-ass socialist who's going to destroy America, and then prove how he's not going to try to do those same things. Because the media is painting him as the crazy person, and he's having tirades in the Rose Garden. That's not going to sway. Yeah. That's not going to sway the middle of the road voters. It's just
fair,
but
no, that's totally fair.
Nobody listens to me from the campaign, so it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, I'm just an Amish satire account. What do I know?
Anyway, so don't get me wrong. I like it with as weird as things have been lately. Joe Biden is basically just only. I mean, Joe Biden is like the groundhog of presidential candidates. Comes out every so often, makes a speech, goes back into his hole. They're like, well, I saw my shadow while I was giving that speech again, so back in here for 6 more weeks. You know.
Yeah, he comes out, sees his shadow, and then six more ads of nonsense.
I guess one of the things also that's kind of driving me crazy is, and this is from more of a leftist perspective, because, you know, the Trump campaign has actually put out what I would consider some pretty effective ads that actually use audio video footage of the cities that are democratically run that are on fire right now because they're run by a bunch of Democrats. And then so you see all the leftist people putting out, you know, Donald Trump is showing pictures of what America is going to be like under Joe Biden. However, this is actually Trump's America. And I'm like, you do realize that every place he's showing is run by a Democrat, right? So it's not really his America because... I mean, he's running the country, but, you know, there is a such thing as separation of powers. Y'all always seem to forget that part. They always want to treat him like a dictator when it suits their purposes and treat him and not when it doesn't.
Yeah, he's a dictator until they want him to be a dictator, and then he's ineffectual. Oh, my God, he's an authoritarian Nazi. Why won't you do Nazi things? Same people.
That's not, so... And I don't remember if we talked about this much last week or not, but the whole Goya thing, I don't know if anybody even knows why.
Was that just a week ago? Wow.
Yeah, I think it was about the same time last week. But yeah, so the whole thing about that is, though, no, I don't think anybody even realizes why that guy was at the White House in the first place. Because nobody was paying attention to that fact. And the guy plain out said, look, when the President of the United States invites you to the White House, you don't say no. I didn't say no to Bush, I didn't say no to Obama, and I didn't say no to Trump. But the thing about it is, the whole reason that guy was there was basically to herald the fact that Donald Trump signed a couple of executive orders to make life easier on Hispanic Americans. It's not a very white supremacist thing to do, yo.
They can't report that because it blows their narrative. That's why they had to focus on who he was rather than why he was there. Why they had to make it about his product and boycott his product. Now, while we're on that topic, I get pretty... Okay. Ivanka's picture today with the Goya can, that was... That I don't like. I like the troll... Don't get me wrong. That's troll level expert, but that is actually, you are a member of the administration giving free advertisement to, you know, that's kind of.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie. I thought it was hot.
Oh, yeah. You know, I don't find her that hot. I don't know why. I just don't. I don't know.
Probably because, you know.
Maybe it's because Ivana bugged the shit out of me. Sins of the mother. I don't know.
You probably don't find her that hot because when you close your eyes, you see your dad. It's like, eh.
I don't care what anybody says. I'm still convinced that Don Jr. is a skin suit for when they figure out how to transfer consciousness from Trump to Trump Jr.
Sad thing is, you're probably right.
Next on Juxtaposition, consciousness transfer. Is it real?
No, actually, next on Juxtaposition, time travel. We'll do consciousness transfer next time.
Yes, we are doing time travel on the next Juxtaposition, by the way. Early plug.
It's not really that early. About a week and a half away. So.
Sure. Do you want to do John Titor? Even though that's been kind of debunked, it was still a fascinating story.
Yeah, I mean, we can.
I mean, he's one of the biggest time travel stories of the 20th century. So, yeah, let's do that.
I was going to spend the whole hour on Back to the Future, yo. Everybody knows that shit's real. No, I'm just playing.
You're just going to steal material from Out of Time. Which, by the way, is a fantastic documentary if you haven't seen it.
Man.
On Netflix. It's a documentary about the making of Back to the Future.
So I have a question.
Sure.
How's life in lockdown again?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know, my life isn't that different, whether we're locked down or not. I mean, I'm fortunate. I am blessed enough to have a job where I can pick and choose what I want to do, when I want to do it, and if I want to do it, as far as with, no, this client is too infirm, or this client is too much of a pain in the ass, or I just don't feel like putting a mask on and dealing with those screaming kids. So I can kind of pick and choose that, which I have the luxury of being able to do. But just every time we take a step forward, Gavin Newsom becomes a spiteful little bitch and rolls us back.
Hey, at least you remembered his name this time.
Yeah, if you weren't turning in last hour, I totally vapor locked on Gavin Newsom's name for 5 minutes.
That's all right. If he was my governor, I would vapor lock on more than his name. Like, all right. I don't even want to live here anymore. So
do we have a governor?
Not really. Seems like you guys are ruled by emotion.
that would be the state legislature.
So speaking of ruled by emotion, if you have a Walmart near you, starting next week, you have to wear a mask to even go into the building.
You know, having seen enough people of Walmart pictures, I'm not against it. No, seriously, that never made sense to me, though. I mean, I get the, you know, wear a mask if you want, but I've changed my opinion on wearing mask when you go into a store, and not that it's annoying or anything. And, you know, yes, I understand that it's not that communicable of a disease, and it has a lower contagion rate of the flu, according to all current testing and everything. But a lot of people pick up a product, decide they don't want it, and put it back down. And how masks stop this, I don't know. But it's a nice placebo, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I've just been beat down by it. I just don't fucking care. Though I did make a comment the other night when I went into a convenience store. It feels really, really weird putting on a mask at 9:30 at night and running into a convenience store and not robbing it for a change. I said that to the cashier. She laughed.
Nice. I'm surprised. In your neck of the woods, I'm almost, well, I would say I'm surprised you wouldn't get shot, but they don't have guns, so it doesn't matter.
No, in my neck of the woods, they have guns.
Anyway. Nobody has guns anymore, sir.
Having to wear a mask at Walmart, I just talked a lot of shit about it.
Nobody has guns anymore, sir. They've all been lost in tragic boating accidents. Just saying.
Yeah, on that topic real quick, I've had a lot of commies in my mention, literal commies in my mention the last couple days. And I got talking to somebody who's, you know, piping in on, you know, in support of me. And we were talking about they really don't want to have the civil war that they think they want. I said, wouldn't that be great, the irony of them, of me shooting commies with an SKS that was actually manufactured in the Soviet Union in 1956?
Oh, that reminds me of the time that, who was it? Tom Arnold put out the tweet, you know, The righties always say they want a civil war, but they're not going to be so happy about that civil war when we borrow our dad's hunting rifle. The fact that you're almost 60 and you have to borrow your dad's hunting rifle means you're a bitch.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
And I don't mean...
Kanye dropped out. He already quit his campaign.
Well.
Was it because he got... Was it because he got hacked today? It was because he got hacked today, wasn't it?
Oh, man, I can't believe some of the things that I'm hearing come out about Twitter after this hack. Like, if you're not on Parler, you should be, because nobody can post them over here, but somebody's managed to get a hold of some screenshots of this tool that apparently the admins have where they can basically take control of your fucking account. What the hell kind of bullshit is that?
What? Well, you know, you say that, but one thing about Parler... If you read their TOS, that has raised a lot of red flags for me, which is funny, haha, red Twitter, is that if they ever have to have a lawsuit because of what you, I mean, well, I didn't, it doesn't even actually specifically say it's because of you, but if they can charge you for any law, attorney's fees that they accrue.
Yeah, well, there's never going to be any leftist over there anyway, so it won't matter.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why you don't like it over there. Your mom jokes don't work out very well.
Well, I asked that the other day when I was, you know, re-popping my head back in on Parler. I said, so how does one actually own the libs over here?
So, speaking of, you know, with the whole bit of HR's mom earlier, I came up with something and I was nice and I didn't sing it on that show, but I will on this one. HR's mom has got it going on. Oh, sorry.
Oh, I in the chat, Jeff just posted a tweet from Anthony Scaramucci. According to my calculations, Kanye West's presidential aspirations lasted one full Scaramucci.
Oh, that's funny.
That's like the Sharpton scale on Buffoon of the Week.
Buffoon of the Week, yeah. My favorite thing.
And our chat is quick. They've already got the, because of the joke you made last hour, they've already got me going to HR memes.
Well, you know it's going to happen eventually. The problem is right now, Stacey basically would be the one running HR, so I can't promise you would come out alive.
No, Well, you know, but also, she's got a whole bunch of don't give a fuck anyway. I mean, she's the one who wants us all to go to an island off Belize.
This is true. We've been talking about that for like, what, 5 years? 6 years?
Yeah. Yeah. Belize is nice, unless you're John McAfee. President John McAfee, I should say.
He's not president, damn it.
He's my president!
Yeah, well, Dan's my co-host, and Daddy here use it. Just saying.
Oh, wow, we just kind of went random there. You want to take a break, and we'll come back and see if we can get back in the game?
Might as well. I mean, we're hitting about that time anyway, so hang on.
Oh, and they got the Stonecutters Guild for KLRN Island Residency Initiation.
Nice. I'm not sure I want to know I'm not sure what the
initiation the hazing is
for that. Why am I picturing scenes from Animal House right now? I have a feeling y'all would be very, very bad. Anyway, we'll be right back. Yep. Stay tuned.
Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not the government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your healthcare? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty HealthShare is founded on the idea that most people truly want to help one another. Healthcare sharing allows members to do just that as a true community that supports one another in times of need. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their healthcare. healthcare, freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your healthcare, not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your healthcare while helping those around you. Call Liberty at 855-58-LIBERTY. Again, that's 855-58-LIBERTY for more information, or you can check them out at libertyhealthshare.org. Again, that's libertyhealthshare.org.
My son was in the Army back during Desert Storm, but even then he wanted an MBA. He looked at a dozen schools, but only one offered the online education and flexibility he needed while he was in a tent in Iraq, Grantham University. Turns out that Grantham's been delivering affordable, relevant college and advanced degrees for over 65 years. Heck, if they can deliver a quality education to a soldier in a tent overseas, think about the flexibility Grantham can offer you so you can earn your degree too. It doesn't matter how complicated or full your life is, if getting a degree is on your bucket list, you'll want to do what my son did. You'll want to call Grantham. Find out how easy it is to get started on your education so you can check that college degree off your bucket list. Call Grantham right now. 800-910-1370. That's 800-910-1370. Flexible, affordable, relevant. Call 800-910-1370.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-783-0810 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-783-0810. Again, that's 800-783-0810.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Minutes or seconds?
Seconds. Because we're hot mic, too.
Have you ever seen the rain coming down the day? Yesterday. Sun is cold and rain is hot.
find out a way to put something up in the Spreaker account or the Skype account when the mics are going hot, so you guys know the mics are hot. Anyway, welcome back. You know,
I didn't know if you were going to be running a news spot or not, so that's when you said back and forth. I was like, minutes or seconds?
No.
Usually you don't give me that short of a time.
Well, you know, trying to make sure you're on your toes, man.
I'm always on my toes.
Yeah, only because you're spinning in your chair. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Robinson and Wright Show. I almost forgot what fucking show I'm doing because I got to do like 12 a week.
This is America off the right.
Oh. That's
welcome to Rick Barr.
That's actually funny because when Dan for like 2 months actually did his own show because he actually, because, you know, he wanted to try to do a solo show. I tried to convince him when he first started doing it. I don't remember what he called it now, but when he first pitched the idea to me when he didn't know what to call it, I told him that he should call it Always Right and spell it like his last name. He didn't go for it, though. Anyway. All right, so welcome back. We're about halfway through the show at this point. A little bit over half, actually, because we were a little late going to the break, but that's okay.
And for those of you keeping track of the poll, I'm up to 14% now. I'm stealing the lead from Babylon B.
Yeah, well, nobody wants a satire account to be the Twitter warlord. That would just be wrong. Well, wait a minute. You're an Amish satire account, so I guess never mind.
Right.
I said corrected.
I'm also the Amish rake fighting champion of 2000 to 2010, so.
Well, considering you were smacking yourself with a rake, I'm not exactly sure that counts.
You know, don't judge my fighting style.
I'm not judging your fighting
Everybody
style.
Everybody made fun of the crane kick in Karate Kid, but it kicked down Johnny, didn't it?
It wouldn't have in real life, uh-huh. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, no, because Johnny would have just swept the leg and it would have been over.
Pretty much. Not to mention the fact that, you know, he's standing there on one leg for like 5 minutes. Kind of figuring, you know, after a set, that's a hell of a telegraph, bro.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're telegraphing your punch, bro.
Like, big time. All right, so anyway, before we went to break, we promised we were going to get things back on track for the last few minutes. And this...
And we lied.
Well, maybe. Well, Jerry's still out, so we'll see you in a minute. This is from our friends over at The Blaze. A museum curator forced to resign for saying the museum should accept art from white male artists. Excluding them amounts to reverse discrimination, the curator said. Apparently, even museums must cancel white artists in the far left's woke utopia. Gary Garrels, a senior curator at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art, was forced to resign after museum rank-and-file staff demanded his termination for saying at a recent staff meeting, "We will definitely still continue to collect white male artists." So I know what he's trying to say there, but it kind of sounds like he's kind of furthering this idea of, you know, white people have to be in chains for 250 years before we're going to actually be able to talk about reparations. I'm like, so are you going to collect the artist or their art? Because I'm a little confused there. And if you are collecting the artist, are you going to chain them up in the basement or what's the plan there? Anyway.
Yeah, they're going to take one for the team for the... you know, racial unity. Now, when I read that story, I was kind of laughing because there's this small town in California called Harmony. It's on the coast. It's north of Morro Bay on the way to San Simeon Hearst Castle. And what it is it's a white. Every time I drove by it, it was for sale for like $800K. And what the town is, it was a winery and a bunch of like. Maybe 10, 12 buildings, all of them filled with working artists. You know, like there was a glass blower there, and if you asked for a hummingbird feeder, he would make you a bonk. But I always thought, you know, if I won the lottery, I'd buy that town and show those working artists what working really is.
anyway.
So, but yeah, so sidebar on that. But yeah, no, okay. You know, that's when this whole thing is going a little bit too far is when you have a museum of modern art. But you are only allowed to accept art from, you know, black people, people of color. Then aren't you just kind of saying that they couldn't get into the museum on their own if you didn't? Isn't that more of the soft bigotry of low expectations?
That's exactly what that is. I was wondering if anybody was going to bring that up. But yeah, that's exactly what that is. That's their way of saying at this point, if we continue to accept art from white people, there will be no room for the black artists because they all suck.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, it's no different than the affirmative action bullshit. That was basically, I mean, that in and of itself is soft bigotry. I don't care how you try to spin it. Because if the simple fact of the matter is, if you have to select somebody because of their skin color, not because of what's on their resume, then you're basically saying that they couldn't have gotten this job without this affirmative action program. Which, I'm sorry, in my opinion, is bullshit.
Sir, Jeff just posted a tweet from Saul the Agorist. It said, Taylor Swift, who has made $360 million singing about her terrible choice in men, now endorses Joe Biden.
That's funny. That's some funny shit right there.
That's some funny shit right there. That's good stuff. But yeah, so it's just such crap. I mean, this whole thing, this whole, you know, we've been talking about how woke culture, get woke, go broke, for the longest time, on how it is not only self-defeating but inherently racist, and this is just more of it.
And that's all it is. I mean, the whole, and somehow, some way, they keep spinning us as the racist motherfuckers, which is really starting to piss me off, because everything they do is racist. They're basically telling the people in this museum that you cannot accept art from white people, because if you do, the black arts and the people of color's art's not going to be good enough to get in here.
Sure.
How we have gotten to this point, and how nobody seems to even realize it or give a damn anymore, is absolutely astounding to me. Because, I mean, this is the exact opposite of everything that Martin Luther King fought, bled, and died for. And for me as a white guy to have to say that, that should piss everybody off.
You know, and right. Back when we were adults, museum would have exhibits. You know, we are going to do an exhibit exclusively of black artists. And it did more to highlight and rise up that genre, or, you know, that, you know, what it did more for that than saying, now we are only exclusively going to have black artists, or now we are only going to exclusively have Mesoamerican artists. You know. So it's just so insulting.
It's just dumb. And the fact that they're doing all this, and now it's like, oh, see, we're going to make the, see, we're the ones that understand what's really going on, and we're going to, I'm just, all of it is just dumb. I'm just so mad right now, well, I can't even put a sentence together.
It's self-defeating, too, because, I mean, when you would have these exhibits, you know, these special expositions of, you know, we're going to highlight black artists for, you know, the next, for, you know, that's going to be our big highlight for the year. And at the Met, you know, for the next 6 months, you know, we'll be featuring black artists. That would get the suburban moms out to go and culture themselves. You know, that would actually be a boon for the museum, a boon for the art gallery, and, you know, increase traffic. But now if it's just going to be there all the time, why bother? I don't need to go. I can go see it, you know, in 6 months from now or a year from now. It'll still be there because they're not exhibiting anything else. I mean, remember how big King Tut's tour was in the U.S.?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that was tens of millions of dollars. I was going to say billions, but that would be an adjusted income. But, I mean, that was just huge for every museum on that tour. I don't know. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned.
You are, but that's okay.
I'm just a cranky old white dude.
That's all right.
Well, an Amish right by the champion.
I was going to say, technically you're a cranky old Amish dude, so.
Right.
So, there was an election last night.
Yeah, Ron makes a good point. Can white people go to the museum?
I don't know. I mean, why would they want to? There's nobody they're going to recognize.
Only anything. If they pay double.
Yeah, they have to pay double and bring the snacks.
Yeah.
Anyway, so
there was an election last night.
Yeah, it was in Alabama. You may have heard. Jeff Sessions was trying to get his Senate seat back and lost. Dumbass.
You heard?
Dumbass.
So yeah, I remember when yeah. Yeah, Tommy's a great choice. I'm glad he won.
Gotta be better than that guy.
Mm. Smug had the best tweet about that yesterday, too. He said, now that Jeff Sessions lost in his election, he can get back to doing what he's what's really important is making those delicious cookies.
So nice. This just in from Georgia. Governor Kemp has now voided all local mask mandates across the state.
You know, Kemp is, he's a pretty good troll. He is. It's like, you know, anytime the media wants to spin a narrative about how bad Georgia's doing, he ratchets it up another 10%. Oh, you don't like that I've opened businesses? Now I'm going to make it illegal for you to wear a mask. Anybody wearing a mask, $500 fine.
Oh, hang on. Can I? No, I don't want to.
What?
I was going to post that in the chat, but I don't want to do that to anybody.
Okay.
That's good. Well,
all right.
Maybe in a minute. It's just gross. I wish I hadn't found that now. I got to change screens. That's gross. Anyways, one of those people of Walmart things we were talking about earlier. So
right.
I'm not going to post it because I don't want to traumatize anybody else, but it's a picture and it shows, you know, skinny older white lady, you know, pushing her cart, wearing her mask. And it says, so you now have to wear a mask in Walmart, and it's showing her, but this is okay. And there's a lady behind her that's, you know, probably about three times her size, got her pajama bottoms on, and they're only half up. And she's bent over, and you're, let's just say it's a full moon in Walmart. Some things once seen cannot be unseen.
Yeah. I'd like to take a rusty nail and poke my eyes out now.
You're welcome.
just mentally, just my mental eye. Just want to step. I can't say that because I'm the king. I'm the Bob Ross of bad mental pictures.
You do paint some really good ones.
Thank you. But I can never. My mental pictures will never be featured at the San Francisco Museum of Modern Art.
Because you're a white guy.
Uh huh.
See what you did there. So did you hear what happened with the Florida Department of Health?
Oh, you mean the just failing to report negative cases of COVID?
Actually, it wasn't even just that. So according
lay it on me.
According to WOFL, the Florida Department of Health has said that countless coronavirus testing sites across the Sunshine State have reported a near 100% positivity rate, which means every single person tested was positive, while other laboratories have reported extremely high positive rates. But reporters from that station reached out to many of those testing sites and discovered the official figures do not reflect that set of numbers. Basically, what we're finding out is, for example, state data showed that Orlando Health, a local hospital, had a 98% COVID-19 positivity rate, but when WOFL reached out to the hospital official said their positivity rate is only 9.4%. State reports also claimed Orlando VA Medical Center had a positivity rate of 76%, but that hospital told WOFL its positivity rate was only 6%. Florida Department of Health blamed the discrepancy on labs they claim are not immediately reporting testing results.
For that spot right there, that's where you needed the line from Office Space. I always do that. I always just put the decimal in the wrong place or some minuscule detail like that. 94% to 9.6%, that's not a rounding error.
We're talking orders of magnitudes numbers here. So, I mean, the thing about that is, if that's happening...
I'm not good at math, but I'm pretty sure the decimal point was in the wrong place.
And so here's my thing with that, right? So they're trying, well, it's just an accounting error, and it was this, and it was that. Bullshit. Because you know what I found out after doing the show, the Kung Flu Spew with Stacy for like the, you know, supposed to be like a 2-week show. We did it for 3 months. You know, one of the first things that I found out was that apparently if you have somebody in a hospital who is testing positive for COVID, because they declared it a national disaster, it unlocks all kinds of funding. Don't fucking tell me they're not. We didn't mean to fudge the numbers. We just put the decimal in the wrong place. Bullshit, you're milking the federal government. Don't fucking lie to me. Grr.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, they're obviously not getting their Medicare, Medicaid money right now because people can't go in for the minor things. I don't know how true this is. I saw this on Twitter. Someone claiming to be a nurse said that an ER nurse said just as a test, they dipped 100 swabs in saline to send off to the COVID testing. 70% came back positive.
Somehow that wouldn't surprise me.
Right. So.
But that's the thing. When you,
you know, again, when, take it with a grain of salt still.
When, that's the thing, you know. Here, and again, not trying to piss anybody off, not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but when they started monetizing the COVID, because that's really what we're talking about here, people are going to find ways to game the system because they think the government's made of money, even though they keep forgetting that we're the government.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Well, and that's just it. People who don't understand that, God, I can't believe my taxes are going up. Meanwhile, I'm going to vote yes on every single, you know, feel good bullet train, kids schools bond initiative that comes down the pipe, every tax increase to pay for everything. I mean, we're still in California, we're still paying for earthquake retrofitting from the Northridge earthquake.
Yeah, well, that's like, you know, anywhere where you have toll roads. Does anybody remember? Because I remember when I was a kid, because I used to hear my dad bitching about it all the time. They told us if they put in these toll roads that by 1983 they were going to be paid for and it was going to be free to drive on. It's 1986. Why the fuck aren't the roads free? Oh.
But that's the difference between a state and a private toll road. Because a private toll road, they never say it's going to be free, but it's some of the best maintained roads you'll ever drive on. When you get the state, you know, government toll roads, they're shit and the prices just go up.
Well, that's the thing. Eventually what Oklahoma did was they made all their toll roads private roads when they basically stopped lying to everybody about how eventually they were going to be free. They just turned over the administration to a group and now they run them, and they really are some of the best roads in the state. But at the same time, I'm just like, you know, I'm not paying extra. I mean, that's like my wife and I when we took a road trip up to Tulsa a few weekends ago for the holiday. Because we were just like, screw it, we're just going to get out for a while because we've been cooped up in the house for 3 fucking months. So we drove to Tulsa and we're like driving
down. Where are we going? Anywhere.
So we're driving down Route 66, right? Because my wife is like, look, I don't want to do the highways and I don't really want to do the toll roads. And the funny thing is, like, everywhere, like, all the way down Route 66, we kept seeing all these turnoffs where you go onto the turnpike. And I'm like, you know, really? It only took us an extra 20, 30 minutes to go the freeway. And it was a lot more pretty. I mean, there was, and I mean, there were things that we probably never would have seen because we went, you know, down and did like Route 66. So there was a couple little small mom and pop shops we stopped and shopped in, a few other things on the way. And I'm like, you know, I kind of miss life moving at this pace instead of 90 mile an hour on the highway.
Sure. Yeah.
But then again, that just proves that I'm old.
You know, and the argument is like, well, you know, your tax dollars go and pay for the roads, not the ones I ever use.
Roads, where we're going, we don't need roads.
We don't need roads. Yeah, you know, it's like, granted, take the argument. Even when I lived down in the city, I would still only be, you know, going between home and work or wherever I wanted to do. It was very rare that I wasn't on, and you know, down when I say Southern California, you know, two or three different highways. So I might be on the 5, the 8, and maybe the, you know, 91. So that'd be like three. If you made the three of those toll roads, still would have been less than I was paying in fuel tax.
Well, y'all do have a lot of fuel tax, though.
Oh boy, do we!
What is you guys' gas tax right now?
You know, I want to say 46.
Oof, because I was. But, well, I was thinking about that when G was talking about the whole California, you know, education union, like, up in arms saying, well, if we do this and this and this, we're going to have all this money. I'm like, so here's my thing, folks. And, you know, this bit of an aside, but just to give you my train of thought here. This is what happens in my state. Anytime they say, well, if you pass the lottery, then we're going to have all this money for kids. And if you allow the Native Americans to build casinos, we're going to have all this money for kids' education. Do you know, no matter what the letter is behind their name, when that money starts coming in from all these different places that were supposed to bolster the education money, you know what they did? Because by law, it was written in that those monies, from a certain percentage of those monies, from those things, had to go to education. But you know what they did on the back end? For every penny they put in, they took another penny out and moved it somewhere else.
Sure.
And they do that every fucking time. So I'm so tired of hearing, well, we just need to put more money into the kids' education system. No, we don't. We need to design an education system that actually works. Because and this is the thing that drives me crazy. We have this cookie-cutter approach to education. We have all of these tests now that determine that we have basic – we know that people have different learning styles. Some people learn best by reading. Other people learn best by doing. So why can't we put schools together that maximize on how these people actually can test and say, well, this person learns better this way, this person learns better that way. So let's find a way to use all these tests that they make us take. I don't know about you guys, but as somebody that spent the last 10 years in corporate America, I have to take a test every 6 months that gives them my personality types, how I learned best and all this shit, and they don't use any of it. Why are you making me take the test if you're not going to use it? Why are we taking the time to figure out how somebody learns best if it's not going to be put to any use? Why do we know that one-size education does not fit everybody? I mean, that's like, I have a son. My oldest son dropped out of high school when he was a sophomore. Moved, just completely left. Said, screw you guys, I'm not living here anymore. I'm going to go live with my aunt. We wound up signing guardianship papers and everything else. Kid, 6 months later, tested off the charts for his GED. He was so fucking smart that he was bored. Because he's like, yeah. I already know all this. I don't need to learn this because I already know it. And he took the test to prove it. Because he kept telling me, look, I already know this stuff. You guys are making me learn things that I already understand and I don't need to. And I was like, I don't necessarily, I'm not sure I believe you. But turns out, he tested off the charts on every subject.
Well, and you know, that similar story with myself is that I finally had a guidance counselor when I was in high school figure out that homework bored the shit out of me because I never did homework, but I always excelled on my tests. So he negotiated with my teachers, just, you know, give him a pass on the homework and grade him directly on his tests. And my GPA improved exponentially. I still would do the homework as part of, you know, to teach myself the formula, but not just sit there and do it by rote, you know. And it really improved my my school experience.
Yeah.
Just finding somebody to acknowledge that he knows his stuff, this repetitive shit bores him, and that's why he's not doing good. He's bored. So.
I mean, and I had the same problem. I mean, you know, back when, I mean, we're near the same age, so I mean, back when we were kids, it was weighted differently, so I could pull off every single bit of my homework, get zeros on all of that, ace my test, and still wind up with a C.
Yeah.
And I did that all the time. The teacher's like, you should have an A. And I said, I should, but I don't like homework.
Right, yeah. I figured it out the first time. Doing the entire multiplication table over and over again, or, you know, doing the same algebra formula just different ways over and over again, it wasn't working. Diagramming that sentence, you know. He speaks English well. You don't need to have him diagram. So, you know. And it's when you're catering to the lowest common denominator, you're losing the top of the class.
Yeah, no. Pretty much.
It's like, I mean, we're close to the same age. When you were in school, did you have the rainbow-colored math books?
Yeah, I think so.
You know, it'd be like, you know, purple and green and blue and everything, and each one was progressively harder. So that was kind of like, and I remember they had them in elementary school where it was like, once you finish the book and if you did well on it, you'd go on to the next book. So it became kind of like a game. So, you know, you'd be like, you know, when you were, you could advance at your own pace with the math. You know, you'd still be limited to, okay, you're in this block because you're in the fifth grade, but you started this color book and then you work your way to this color book. And like yellow was one of the highest and, you know, so, but that's what I remember. I remember in school, that being the way they taught math, was that you moved at your pace. I mean, there was a bare minimum pace, but you moved at your pace. And if you were, you know, if you were outstripping the class, you weren't forced to do the same shit over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the thing. It was like they understood that kids learned at different paces back then. It's not like that anymore.
No, it is not.
No, it's like, oh, you're already done. Go back and do it again.
Yeah.
Like, really? All right, so believe it or not, my friend, that's pretty much it.
Boy, we didn't really stay on track, did we?
Eh, we sort of did. We never really do on this one, though. Usually by about halfway through, we're talking about everything else.
Yeah. What are you watching?
You know, there was something I was going to make sure that I brought up that I was watching, and now I can't think of what the hell it was. What was it?
How are you doing with Hannah? Are you still, you sticking with that one?
I haven't really gone back to that one, actually, just because, you know, been having some sleep issues lately. I went back and started watching Alias again, so I have been watching that a bit. But there was another show that I was watching that I wanted to make sure. Oh, yeah. Nosferatu is back out on AMC. It's up up to episode 4 now, so I'm actually caught up. This season's been more interesting than the first. It skipped ahead a lot, and not to give anybody any spoilers, but it's been pretty interesting. It's kind of an interesting take on the whole idea of vampires, and at least these don't sparkle. I'm just saying.
That was the worst thing that ever happened to vampires.
Oh, God,
it killed that genre. It really did.
It tried. I don't know. There's been a few things that have tried to bring it back, but the acting's been terrible in most of them, so they haven't survived either.
Right. And Jess was reminding you in chat that the fifth season of Alias doesn't exist.
Fifth season of Alias was just weird. That's like
I got back on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I started again with Bizarro World Coulson. So yeah. That way I could get caught for their last season. So I started that two nights ago.
I'm still mad, dude. I've watched everything that I can, and I'm still missing bits and pieces. And I still only have one question for the S.H.I.E.L.D. showrunner. What the fuck happened to episode 5? Where did it go? It went 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, and I can't find 5 anywhere. That doesn't work when it's not episodic TV. This is actually a serial. It's following a storyline for the entire time, so I'm missing an entire hour that explains a good chunk of the story, and nobody has it anywhere. And that's honestly one of the reasons why I hate that style of TV show. I really don't like it. I don't mind the shows that like have kind of like a major arc, but they still kind of can the episodes can kind of stand on their own. But the shows that are just episode after episode after episode and everything completely ties and knits together, I really don't like those style of shows. Because something like what's been happening over the last few weeks happens and suddenly there's all these protests and everything else. And then all the networks have to have this night where instead of playing the regular thing that we're going to play, we're going to have this woke night of all these people of color talking about how bad America is. And I'm like, fine, so put the damn thing up on demand or something. And it's not.
We now resume our program, you know. And it's just like, oh my God, I just missed everything. Thank you for resuming the program with the last 5 minutes.
Like,
that always drove me nuts on old television.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you might as well just left it off for another 5 minutes because now all I get to see is the very end of it, and I'm more pissed than I was if I wouldn't have got to see it at all. But anyway, so and the thing about it is, this episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has actually been kind of fun because you can tell it's the last season and they're just kind of doing whatever they want to do. And it's kind of back to more of like the campy feel to it, which it's had before. And honestly, I think the seasons where it's a little campy have been better than the ones where they try to be super serial,
sure.
Just because of the way the show is. But I'm still mad because I'm like, I missed like 2 or 3 key points that I can't find anywhere. And I missed an entire episode. And I'm just like, whoever's editing this shit needs to be shot. Oh, sorry. Did I say the quiet part out loud again? My bad. Right. Anyway, so what are you watching besides Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Anything else?
No, just that. I mean, I'm trying to get gear up to catch up to where you're at. So I just started back in with Bizarro Coulson World and seeing where it's go from there. But that's it right now. And I'm taking a break from everything else to get caught up on that and call it good. Hey, you doing Buffoon of the Week tonight?
That's the plan.
All right. Good stuff.
We're going to get things reset. I'll be back to finish out the night with hour 4. Actually, I guess for me, this would be hour 6 today. Good God, am I a glutton for punishment or what? Anyway, yay. Fun times. We'll see you guys in a second for Off the Rails if you're staying up late with me. Otherwise, feel free to catch the podcast later. If you are going to bed, don't forget to join us in the morning for your daily dose, because I'll be back at 6 a.m. to do this all over again. 7
see
Eastern.
Y'all on Culture Shift tomorrow.
And I'll beat him to it. Dan Israel, you bastards.
These are the